In her federal civil rights suit, she alleges a teacher laughed at her when she wore the t-shirt last April and called the message inappropriate. The suit claims the principal held her in an office for 3 hours, then suspended her for the day. Her lawyer, Dan Perez, told Reuters that teachers made Young remove rainbow beads from her hair on an earlier occasion. Natalie Young is scheduled to appear on the Michelangelo Signorelli show on Monday at 3 p.m. Tim Curran, OutQ News.
I don't see anything that could stand in our way.
Sanity, reality, the laws of physics.
This is the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius OutQ 149.
Woo, we are here on a Friday. Boy, Friday, it's a great day for all of us, I know, because you may be going away for the weekend, enjoying your summer. And it is summer. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius OutQ 149. Coming to you on that Friday, live from Studio 5, 36th floor, Rockefeller Center in New York City. And you know you can join us, and we're going to have a great, great show today, a fabulous show, and one that I definitely want you to participate in. So give us a call. The number, take it down, toll-free, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUTQ on Sirius OutQ 149. We've got 3 hours of a great show for you. And yes, we'll practice some of that conversion therapy, converting people from that hideous, horrible, anti-gay, right-wing agenda to the more enlightened one, just a better place. So call us if you're a would-be convert or somebody who's converted already. 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUTQ on Sirius OutQ 149. Ruthie Berman and Connie Kurtz have been together for over 25 years as partners, as lovers, but they have been friends for over 40 years. They're Jewish, they're grandmas, and they're lesbians, women who met back in the Jewish neighborhoods of Brooklyn in the 60s when they were both married to men and raising children. They were pillars of the community, working at the synagogue, helping to open the junior high school, and then the neighborhood was scandalized when their relationship became public. Connie and Ruthie, Ruthie and Connie, together have made this film. There's a film about them, directed by Deborah Dixon, that is going to be airing on Cinemax Real Life. On Cinemax Real Life is the series, June 25th at 7 p.m. The repeat performance is June 29th. The name of the film, Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in a House. It's a portrait of these gay pioneers who met as housewives back in the 60s. 14 years later, they realized they were in love. They announced it to the community, to their husbands, left their husbands. And this film is about their journey and their story. In 1988, they were involved in a landmark legal case where Connie sued the New York City Board of Education for domestic partnership benefits. Back in 1988, overnight they became national heroines, and after a five-year struggle, they made history when they won those benefits for everyone, all New York City employees. So they are all of our grandmas, all of our Jewish grandmas, and they are coming on the show today, in this hour, our first hour, Ruthie and Connie, whose film, Ruthie and Connie, Every Life in the House, will be on Cinemax June 25th, 7 p.m., repeat performance June 29th. It is directed by Deborah Dixon. I hope you will join us. I hope you will call up to give us some questions and comments and thank yous. Thank yous to these pioneers who are legends in our movement. The number toll-free, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUTQ on Sirius OutQ 149. In our second hour, that's our open phones hour, and you know what that means. You can call up with anything that's on your mind, and Friday is a day when you might have a lot on your mind. Tell me what you're doing for the weekend, for Pride. You may be going to Pride. Call me up, talk about anything. I'll be throwing out some topics, too. The rising death toll in Iraq. What does it all mean? Al Gore deciding he wants to found a new television network. That's an interesting prospect. And the fittest cities in America. What are they? And is yours on the list? Third hour, we are thrilled to have in the studio with us Dennis O'Hare. He is a star in Take Me Out, the hit Broadway play that recently won a Tony for Best Play. We had the playwright on who won the Tony, Richard Greenberg. Dennis O'Hare won the Tony as well for Best Featured Actor. Take Me Out imagines what it might be like if a baseball player actually came out of the closet. It's a hilarious, just riveting play, but also very poignant and really dealing with serious issues. Homosexuality and race and other issues. And Dennis O'Hare is the guy in the play who's not just given up all the ideas and philosophy, but man, is he funny. He is hysterical, and he is coming in to talk with us in our third hour, and I am excited and thrilled, and I hope you will join us. The number, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q, Sirius OUT-Q 149. Fabulous show today, and I'm, of course, with the fabulous producer of the show, Anthony Veneziano. Hi, Anthony. How you doing?
Doing very well, and I'm sitting here wondering what kind of programming would be on the Al Gore Network, or the Al Gore Light Network. What's
I hope it would be like us, Ruthie and Connie and Dennis O'Hare from Take Me Out. If it's not, well, then Al Gore is just not hitting all the right notes,
is he? I'm thinking more shows like Al Gore's Woodshop.
We're here, too, with Jason Page, our associate producer and technical director. How you doing, Jason?
I am so jazzed up for this Dennis O'Hare thing. And by the way, on your Al Gore point, it might be how to invent the internet, because we know that he did invent
the internet.
Oh, that's
right. So that's right.
Perhaps he would go in that direction as well.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that in our second hour, Open Phones Hour. And I hope you'll join in the discussion as well. Maybe you have some ideas about what Al Gore is up to. We certainly want to hear from you. Do you know that Madonna, I wanted to just throw this out there, Madonna wants to make a serious documentary for TV, Jason, about the mystical and unorthodox cult of Kabbalah.
Interesting.
And now Jennifer Lopez wants to make a film about quinceañeras. I hope I said that right in Spanish. The elevating rite of passage ceremony for 15-year-old girls, dear to Hispanics across America.
Huh.
So here are our icons making films, more films. I don't know. I want to see Jennifer Lopez's. Madonna, films, I'm sorry, Truth or Dare was great, but Madonna, you got to, the films, you got to watch it with, you're not doing well. You know, it just wasn't working.
Suddenly but, Seeking Susan or whatever?
Oh, Suddenly See, well, that was good. And we had, she was also in Evita. That was fabulous. But it was really a music video.
Right.
Films, I don't think, work. Tell us what you think. Give us a call. We want to talk to you in our first hour. And coming up next in our first hour is Ruthie and Connie. Ruth Berman and Connie Kurtz talking about their Cinemax film, June 25th. Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. 866-305-6887. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149.
Expect the best in sports programming from the worldwide leader in sports. ESPN Radio, Stream 120. Hosts Mike and Mike in the Morning, Tony Kornheiser, and Dan Patrick feature the latest scores, listener call-ins, and big-name interviews with top athletes. These guys don't just talk sports, they live for them. ESPN Radio, Stream 120. Sirius. It's on.
What makes a hedge fund different? I'm Howard Liberman at Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York with Now You Know. Hedge funds are usually used by wealthy individuals as well as institutions. They're not for the faint of heart investor because they're allowed to use aggressive strategies that aren't allowed by mutual funds. These would include things like short selling, program trading, arbitrage, as well as the use of derivatives. They're restricted by law to no more than 100 investors, so they usually have very high minimum investments, often as much as $1 million, although lately numerous funds have begun with smaller investment requirements, some of them as low as $25,000. But you'll still have to show a high net worth, since the risk in hedge funds is so much greater than in other investment vehicles. And you'll pay the usual management fees, as well as a percentage of the profits to the fund, that's usually 20%. You can trust Bloomberg Radio on Sirius Stream 102 for news about hedge funds. I'm Howard Liberman, and Now You Know.
Do you know what a child who can't read grows up to be? A statistic.
I know I should read to my son more, but I'm just too tired.
Well, how tired will you be of getting notes from school that your child can't keep up with the class? 2 out of 3 African-American fourth graders are struggling to read. Reading to your child now for just 15 minutes a day can make a lifetime of difference. To get Read and Rise, a free booklet on how you can help your child become a good reader, call 1-866-522-READ. A public service message brought to you by the National Urban League and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius LQ 149.
I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius LQ 149. I'm so glad you're with us. We were talking about Ruthie and Connie, Ruthie Berman and Connie Kurtz. They're Jewish, they're grandmothers, they're lesbians, they're lovers, they're heroes in this movement. And their film, directed by Deborah Dixon, is going to be on Cinemax June 25th, 7 p.m., and June 29th, 7 a.m. The name of the film is Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. I am so excited to have them here. Ruthie and Connie, thanks for coming on the show. I love you guys.
I love you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
You know, it's just amazing to me to see your story, and telling everybody out there, I want to tell everybody out there to see the film because you're heroes, not just for what you've done for the community, but for now putting your story out there so that everybody else can see what it was like to be gay so many years ago and to come on the journey you've come on. Now, you met in 1958. You were both married, two couples with children. You were both married to many, but two couples with children, and you were friends.
Yes.
And you're living in this wonderful community in the Catello Towers, a sort of Jewish ghetto, or with an Italian American neighborhood around it in Sheepshead Bay.
You got it. You're describing it just fine.
In Bensonhurst.
Talk about the neighborhood and what it was like, and what it was like at the Catello Towers in those years.
In those years, it was. It's not only those years, but how old we were at the time. Young mothers, the whole community was about the same age, all striving to make it a little better for our children. We were not middle class, we were a little lower class, and all of us, you know, working towards seeing to it that our kids had a better life. And in living in this community, they did have a better life.
Now, is that Connie talking or
Ruthie? This is Ruthie.
That's Ruthie. Okay.
You know, the decision whether to have carpeting or tile in the living room was a big deal. And who would babysit and where our children would go, because we needed public schools, we needed junior high schools. We needed to be concerned about the big traffic, the traffic light that didn't exist across this very major street, and the fight that we had to get a traffic light. Those were the things.
And you were very involved in the community in that way, in
yes,
the synagogue.
Yes, we were involved because we started the Mothers Action Committee of Contella 1, 2, and 3. It was very easy to bring people together because we lived in these large buildings. It was very easy to communicate, and the people somehow had a very political sense that numbers counted, and we emphasized that with them, and they saw things happen. We got a new school with traffic, air pollution. We were able to get rid of somebody who was polluting the air for years and years and years.
So you were activists before you were gay activists.
You have.
Now, exactly. You were married, you were best friends, good friends.
Right.
Nothing ever, there was no energy like that between you until one day when Ruthie, you asked Connie to kiss you.
Well, it happened because Connie went to live in Israel. She left with her family to live in Israel, and she was coming in for a visit.
And what year was that now?
1974, I came back for a visit.
So you had been friends for over 10 years.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes. And that leaving for 4 years and then coming back for a visit, seeing each other in a different light, a consciousness that wasn't even in existence, when we were friends in the early 60s, the consciousness of the women's movement for Ruthie, for me, the consciousness of going through the Yom Kippur War and being so separated from friends that I loved.
The in love relationship, though it may have been a shock to both of us individually, collectively, I was home free. Mm-hmm. I personally was home free. That I could give myself permission to fall in love, not only with a woman, but to fall in love with Ruth Berman. It was the best thing that had ever happened.
And but
to me.
Neither of you had had a lesbian experience before this.
No.
So this was something that grew out of you. You found your lesbian selves through your friendship.
You hear it very clearly.
I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius LQ 149. I'm speaking with Ruthie Berman, and Connie Kurtz. Their film, the film about their lives. And this extraordinary lives they've led, and including the landmark legal case in 1988 in which they sued the New York City Board of Education for domestic partnership benefits. This film, Ruthie and Connie, is going to be on Cinemax June 25th, premiering at 7 p.m., and then the repeat performance June 29th at 7 a.m. You may have a question or comment for them. These are heroines in our community. I hope you'll call them up maybe with some thoughts on what they've done or some questions. 866-305-6887 is the number toll-free. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. So after you finally then kissed, and after you then started to have a romance, you were both still married, and you wrote letters to one another, and I was really fascinated by the stories you both told about the letters. You know, one of you was ripping them up into little pieces. Mm-hmm. The other one burned them all in the bathroom in Israel. Can I talk about that a little bit?
It was my, this is Ruthie, Michael.
Yes.
It was my internalized homophobia that was, it felt so impossible to come out that I always, at that time, called it was the agony of being a lesbian and the ecstasy of being a lesbian in love. And I was very fearful that I would be discovered.
And that you would be killed.
That's right. And that may have been a real fantasy, you know, it turns out to be, because I'm very happy now. It was the right thing to do. And our being together was, as I mentioned in the film, there's a Jewish statement by Shert. It was, she's my soulmate. We were supposed to be together. And if it weren't for that very intense sexual feeling, we could have still remained friends and done our thing.
Mm.
It's the fact that Ruthie is an animal and had no control over herself that we are here today talking to you, Michael. All right? And I'm blessed that there was that lust, that passion. And at the level that it
was—that's
was,
important. Yes,
it's okay. It's okay to be in love at that intensity. What made it so difficult, and rightly so, that the commitment to a relationship called marriage had already existed, and the letting go of our husbands and telling our children and experiencing their reaction and having to deal not only on the personal but then on the outside level of how other people would respond. I know that passion and that intensity gave me the strength and the power to say, not that I don't care how other people feel, but it's okay, let them feel what they need to feel, but now I'm giving myself permission to be who I am proudly. And I was. I was, again, home free to life as it was for me and how I helped change life, not only for myself by being so identified as a lesbian, but obviously we have affected and influenced other people.
Oh, yes, so many people. When you were just starting to come out after you, you know, you kept it a secret. You talked about the letters, hiding the letters, burning the letters. But then you decided it was time and you went through the process of leaving your husband's. There's a great scene in the film in which you're with friends from the Cotello Towers back in Brooklyn. But now they're now living in Florida in a condominium complex down there. There were a bunch of people sitting around. They were all talking about the effects that your going public and leaving your husband's had, because it was really a scandal. You were both these pillars of the community. That's what one woman was saying. They were pillars of the community, now suddenly finding out that they were really in love. Discuss what that was like.
Well, we didn't know, Michael. We only assumed that they may have been talking. That scene in the film, it's interesting to call it a scene because it was the first time that we heard what was going on in the community about us, you see. I only returned to the community during the week to visit my mother, to be with my children. But I had no idea, because when I did come into those buildings, people welcomed me with open arms. How are you? How are Connie? How is everything? I had no idea what was, you know, behind the scenes until that scene in the film. So we didn't have any backlash that we felt at the moment. Most of it had to do with what I had internalized, what I was making up, you see. And I'm happy for this moment, Michael, because you were very instrumental in my coming out. Do you remember the outing you used to do with everybody?
I certainly remember. I think a lot of people remember when I used to write about public figures back in the late 80s, at the, you know, when the AIDS epidemic was exploding, and calling people to account who were hiding, who were public figures.
Yep.
In order for them to also take responsibility that I am my sister and brother's keeper. Not necessarily did I need anybody to identify themselves as much as I needed them to be an active participant in interrupting what had already been handed down. That kind of oppression, that kind of lack of treatment of equal rights for all of us, that injustice, because as far as I'm concerned, I need, you know, Ruthie and I have experience where we love to dance, and we dance with each other, and we dance with other women, and we have been attacked in what the people consider a loving gesture or a joke, and they would say to whoever I'm dancing with or myself, well, are you lesbians, you know, that because we're dancing. And I would say, and the friend would say, yes, I'm glad you noticed. we have to do that more. The men that come together, and because they embrace, if in any way anybody thinks or knows that they are gay, let's all start saying, thank you, I'm glad you noticed.
That is a message everybody really has to hear. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius OutQ 149. I'm speaking with Ruthie Berman and Connie Kurtz. Their film, the film about their lives, and they have some such extraordinary lives, is Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. It's directed by Deborah Dixon. It's going to be on Cinemax June 25th at 7 p.m. and on June 29th at 7 a.m. You might have a question or comment for them. The number is 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OutQ 149. Ruthie and Connie, the film goes through so much of the transformations that you have gone through, and when people see it, they'll see the journeys you've taken in your own emotional upheavals over the years, and then also how, beyond the personal, you took it, you decided you had to do things that really put you at risk, made you very public and open in a time when it was much more risky. You were on The Donahue Show in 1988 because, Ruthie, you were suing the Board of Education for $1 million because you didn't get domestic partnership benefits. You're a guidance counselor at Sheepshead Bay High School. And just doing that alone, launching the lawsuit, was a monumental thing. But I thought it was also monumental that you were on Donahue, 1988, and the women in the audience were just giving you such hell. They were homophobes and they were nasty, and you just gave it to them. And it just felt so good to see that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, just to say that there were two other couples in this lawsuit, that it's important. It wasn't just Connie and I. Through the Gay and Lesbian Teachers Association and Lambda was our legal advisors, you know, they took over. But I knew, Michael, that I would not have another opportunity to speak to millions of people about how we felt, you see, and how important it was for them to know that they were hurting us in such a way. And to feel the freedom to be who I am and for them to hear that. And I also, the fact of doing a film, of being on Donahue, and we were on many other shows, I don't want one other kid to ever feel they had to kill themselves because they discovered who they were as a gay, lesbian, bi, or transgendered person, or even think that was the way out of it.
No, and you know, you were standing up in the way that some others of us really can't, because you were a woman and a mother at who was the same age as those women, and it was so important for you to stand up as a mother and to say, you know, that you felt this way. We have a call. I want to take this call that we have. It's Chuck in Dallas who is on the line, and let's see what he has to say. Hi, Chuck. You're on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show.
Hello.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Good. I have a comment and a question.
Sure.
For the lady. Comments, without people like you and the conviction that you have, we wouldn't have the good foundation that we have for us young ones today, because I'm 28, and it's want to thank you for your efforts and your conviction. And question, we have a fairly large Jewish population in Dallas, and you know, I have a couple of Jewish men, and they've had problems with their family and the synagogues, you know, with their acceptance, and they have their own little group where they congregate and meet. And wondering how exactly has that affected your life? And I'm assuming you still practice Judaism, and you know, how do you go about that?
Did you, Ruthie and Connie, did you hear his question?
Yes.
First off, he made a great comment about looking up to people like you, and I'm so glad he did, and I want to thank him for that. But then he had a question about being Jewish.
And again, I also thank you for the appreciation, and know that Ruthie and I stand on the shoulders of many that came before us, and we share that appreciation with that past. The question of how we experience our Jewishness and still gay and lesbians, we're very fortunate. The creation of a lesbian and gay synagogue in New York City, with all its prayerfulness, with all its joyfulness, it exists for us. It exists for us. But I'm also saying, whether it's called Bensonhurst in Brooklyn or Manhattan in New York or Dallas, Texas, it's up to us to create that Jewishness, that prayerfulness, whatever our backgrounds are, so that in no way no one can interrupt our feeling whole and complete. In no way can anyone interrupt that we are okay. One of the statements in the film, because our rabbi is in the film, makes the statement of that that we are in the image, all of us are in the image of God, and that has to be honored. That has to be honored by us from the inside out, and it must begin to start from the outside in. And that's why Ruthie and I are able to still be the Jewish women that we are. And Ruthie and I are moving down to Florida. And if we cannot find that institution down there, we will create our own institution.
Absolutely.
I would just like to say to Chuck that the people, his friends in Dallas, can get in touch with Congregation Beit Simcha Torah in New York City. It's cbst.org on the internet, and they can get a lot of information spiritually and socially from our Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum and everyone else in the community.
Ah, that's terrific. And Sharon Kleinbaum is another hero in the community as well.
Yeah, without a question.
Ruthie and Connie, I want to thank you for coming on and wish you luck with the film, and thank you for all of the work that you have done, and also tell everybody out there to watch it. It's on Cinemax on June 25th. At 7 p.m., and then it is repeating at 7 a.m. on June 29th. Ruthie and Connie, thank you so much.
And thank you, Michael, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you so very much.
And gay pride and lesbian pride to all of you and your listeners.
Yes, happy pride to both of you, too.
Be well.
Thank you. Ruthie Berman and Connie Kurtz, whose film, Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House, is going to be aired on Wednesday, June 25th, 7 p.m., on Cinemax, and on June 29th at 7 a.m. on Cinemax. You may have a question or a comment. Jump in the discussion here. 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius OUT-Q 149.
This is Nick Ashford.
And Valerie Simpson.
We're the OJs.
This is Flo Atri.
Sirius Jams for Black Music Month in June. We're bringing you some of the world's most entertaining and history-making music in special programs and artist interviews. Many of Sirius' commercial-free music streams are presenting exclusive Black music features in jazz and pop, blues and R&B, hip-hop, gospel, world music, and reggae. You'll find a complete schedule at Sirius.com. June is Black Music Month at Sirius. It's on.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy?
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255. 638-8255.
Sirius. This is the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius OutQ 149.
I'm Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius OutQ 149. Our number, toll free, and our first hour here on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on a Friday is 866-305-6887. That's 866-305-OUT-Q, Sirius OUT-Q 149. We were just speaking with Connie Kurtz and Ruthie Berman, whose film Connie and Ruthie will be on Cinemax on June 25th, 7 p.m., and June 29th, 7 a.m. And it blows my mind to talk to people who've done so much in this movement, and going back years ago, it makes you realize, as difficult as things are today, how difficult they were, and people still came together. People still came out. People still dealt with their sexuality, and you know, in the face of enormous hostility and oppression. So it was great to talk to them. It was great to have them on the show and talk about their film, and you might want to catch their film, Connie and Ruthie and Connie, on Cinemax, June 25th, 7 p.m. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli, and I am here with Anthony Veneziano, our producer here on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show. How you doing, Anthony?
Well, how can I be doing after that interview? I'm just extremely motivated.
I know. Weren't they just terrific?
The love that dare not speak its name was being screamed by them at a time when no one was screaming it. It just shows you that you just can't hold back certain things.
Yeah, and there's so much more that I just couldn't go into, you know, with them in depth. We would have been here for 5 hours. Then you got to see the film. But there's so much in the film to see.
There's an amazing ending to that film, which we're not going to give away either.
That's
so you've
right.
got to check into Cinemax.
That's right. What'd you think, Jason?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I was sitting here riveted to the entire interview because you just don't hear gay grandmothers, let alone gay Jewish grandmothers, talking about their experiences. It's just, it's incredible. I mean, I'm blown away by
That's
it.
That's the diversity of the gay community, GLBT community.
And I'm dying for a good bowl of matzo ball soup now.
There you go. There you go. Well, in the film, they actually talk about food. They have this celebration. They have parties, and there's lots of food, lots of talking, lots of hanging out. It's a very, very fabulous film. Our number, toll-free, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. You may have heard about this teenager here in New York City, in Queens, a lesbian teenager who wore a T-shirt to school. We talked about it on the show yesterday. We just mentioned it toward the end of the show. The T-shirt said, Barbie is a lesbian. 14-year-old Natalie Young says that her teacher laughed at her, called the garment and its reference to Barbie inappropriate, and she is now launching a lawsuit against the teacher. Now, the reports that we've seen have also said that she was told that she couldn't wear some rainbow beads that she had in her hair on a previous day. So she's now suing the teacher. I mean, what is wrong with saying Barbie is a lesbian? Why is that inappropriate? I saw her on TV, Natalie Young. She's 14 years old, and she said, I'm an open lesbian. And I wore it as a joke. I wore it for fun. I did it for my own reasons. I wore it because I'm proud. So what's wrong with putting Barbie as a lesbian? Now, some people would say, well, it's disruptive or something like that. I don't buy it. But maybe you have a different idea. 866-305-6887. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. And I'm happy to say that we are going to have Natalie Young on the show on Monday. Right, Anthony?
Yes, we are at 3:14 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, the 23rd. I spoke to Natalie Young's mother. Actually, she likes to be called Nikki Young, so we'll have Nikki Young on Monday. Her mother, Kathleen Hodges, and I spoke earlier today. This story is being handled right now in the media sensationally. You know, they're catching on to the whole Barbie headline, and they're talking about it as just one incident. But there's a lot more to this story. There's sort of a history here of abuse that this girl had to experience in this school, and that's what we're going to be talking about and exposing on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, there's always more than meets the eye. And you know, but even just this thing about the T-shirt, it really bugs me. And her lawyer, Dan Perez, makes a great point. If she had worn a shirt that said, Barbie supports the troops in the war in Iraq, she would have been called a patriot. Nobody would have said, oh my God, she's being disruptive, or that's inappropriate, or that's too political. It's only when the politics or the statement isn't what they want or they agree with that they suddenly say it's inappropriate, it's disruptive. But if she had said Barbie supports the war in Iraq on her shirt, I doubt that she would have been told to go home. That would have been seen as anti-patriotic.
And if she didn't have Barbie's name on that shirt, we probably even wouldn't be hearing about this news.
Oh, you think it's mostly about Barbie?
I think that's what's catching people's attention.
That could be. Yeah, well, I think that's what's catching much of the media's attention, yes. If she just said, I'm a lesbian. And who knows if the teacher would have sent her home or told her it was inappropriate not to wear that anymore if she just said, I'm a lesbian. 866-305-6887 is our number, toll free. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli. I'm really happy to say that General Electric is going to be giving domestic partnership benefits to all of its employees. One of the largest and oldest companies, and one of the few in the Fortune 500 and in the top 10 of the Fortune 500, the only other two now that don't give domestic partnership is Walmart and ExxonMobil. Damn Walmart. But, you know, they banned those magazines that they felt were, they're banning things, they're talking to conservatives. I doubt Walmart's ever going to give domestic partnership to gays, but General Electric includes NBC, MSNBC, this station that Jason Page here loves to watch all the time. I don't know why. It's a great thing, a great thing. So some good news. General Electric has given domestic partnership to its employees, which includes NBC. It's about time. They were only, you know, 5 years behind everybody else. 866-305-6887 is our number toll-free. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. I have to talk about this because it's yet another one of these celebrity, these attacks on celebrities. And this time, the celebrity didn't even have a position against the war. Now, we've talked about the Dixie Chicks. We've talked a lot about the Dixie Chicks and what was done to them. And then yesterday we talked about Ed Asner, how they're going after Ed Asner. You remember Lou Grant or, Tyler Moore's Lou Grant, you know, Lou Grant. Ed Asner, they went after him, this group, Patriotic Americans Boycotting Anti-America Hollywood, because they say he signed some petition supporting Castro. They're actively campaigning against his film. He's starring in the upcoming flick Elf. Okay, so now today comes a report that these people who are protesting anti-war, you know, these anti-war celebrities are now attacking people who haven't even made an anti-war statement. An airline passenger verbally attacked Pamela Anderson after incorrectly thinking she had spoken out against the war. Louis Ziza, a 52-year-old native of Los Angeles, exploded in anger. That's the report here from peoplenews.com. at Anderson on an American Airlines flight from Fort Lauderdale to Los Angeles. After the airline staff hushed him up, he erupted a second time. I mean, now it's not even people who have a position on the war. And if you ask me, these people, like this group, Patriotic Americans Boycotting Anti-America Hollywood, they whip up people like this. They whip up people to go and scream at somebody on an airplane, just any celebrity, because they target, it's Hollywood, Hollywood celebrities. He must have thought, oh, it's a Hollywood celebrity. She must be in favor, she must be against the war. It really burns me up. This Hollywood thing, this attack on Hollywood is something that is, if you listen regularly, you know it's something that bothers me. But this really angers me, this idea that this woman isn't even doing it. She hasn't even had a position, and she's got to put up with some guy screaming at her about the war when she's not. She probably is in favor of the war. What do you think? 866-305-6887 is the number toll-free. 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149. Anthony, am I crazy to think that this is an example of how these groups whip up some nut who, you know, is going to, he might have gotten violent after that.
Of course, but I want you to take a deep breath, Mr. Signorelli. Calm down. We have a lot of show to get angry in. Absolutely. I mean, the guy was a boob, not Pamela Anderson. I'm talking about the guy was a boob. And of all people, especially Pamela Anderson, because she is, of course, such an eloquent speaker no matter what she speaks on. But even in this case, when she didn't speak out, yes, I mean.
Well, she actually supported the war. That she's actually spoken out in support of the troops.
I'm shocked she even knew the war was going on.
Now, wait a minute. Just because she's a blonde and has big tits.
Oh, she's a blonde bimbo. VIP. Do I need to say anything
she's
else?
She's got a brain.
VIP.
She's spoken out in favor, in support of the troops. And she was traveling under an assumed name. So, you know, hey. You know, I don't care that she, whether or not she has a brain or not, the woman is being attacked, okay? And I'm defending her. 866-305-6887. more attacks on Hollywood, and I'm going to defend them even if they're airheaded Hollywood stars. 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q on Sirius OUT-Q 149.
Hey, it's John McMullen. Friday, Corey Johnson and I are leaving on a jet plane. We're California bound, and filling in on the Free Speech Friday edition of the John McMullen Show will be Larry Flick. He's an icon in the music world and the only other bear I trust to fill my shoes for an afternoon of thoughtful discussion and plentiful laughter. Join Larry Flick Friday, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, on Sirius OUT-Q 149.
What's the difference between a home equity loan and line of credit? I'm Susanna Palmer at Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York with Now You Know. Both home equity lines and loans are secured by the equity in your home. A home equity loan is a one-time sum that you pay off over a set amount of time with a fixed interest rate. The payments are the same each month until the loan is paid off. A home equity line of credit is more like a credit card. You're allowed to borrow up to a certain amount for the life of the loan, and during that time, you can withdraw money as you need it and pay interest on that amount. As you pay off the principal, your credit revolves and you can use it again. Credit lines, unlike loans, have variable interest rates that fluctuate over the life of the loan. Payments will vary depending on the interest rate, which floats, and how much credit you've used up. And you can trust Bloomberg Radio on Sirius Stream 102 for the first word on interest rate changes that affect you. I'm Susanna Palmer, and Now You Know.
Imagine you're at a soccer match and your favorite player has the ball. As she zeroes in on the goal, you want to yell, "You can do it, honey!" She shoots, she scores! You go to scream, "That's my baby!" But nothing comes out when you've got a crushed voice box. If you had only been wearing your seatbelt when the truck came out of nowhere, your throat wouldn't have slammed into the steering wheel and you wouldn't have gotten silenced. And this story wouldn't have gotten all twisted. So buckle up, because you never know.
A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Lines are open for the Michelangelo Signorelli Show.
866-305-6887. That's 866-305-OUT-Q.
Yes, that is 866-305-6887. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli, and you're on my show, and we are talking about Pamela Anderson coming under attack by a man who claimed that she is against the war in Iraq when she actually supports it. And I'm saying, whatever you think of Pamela Anderson, it's another example of hate mongers whipping people up against Hollywood celebrities. Don't even care who they are, just go after them. Yesterday it was Lou Grant. Well, Ed Asner, who played Lou Grant. And now they're boycotting his film. Patriotic Americans boycotting anti-America Hollywood. Steams me till no end. 866-305-6887 is the number toll free. 866-305-OUT-Q. Let's go to the phones to Richard in Michigan. Hi, Richard. How you doing? What are you thinking about with regard to this topic?
Well, as far as regards to this topic, Ed Asner has his right to say whatever he wishes to say and do whatever he wishes to do. If he has the problem of inflaming people or saying improper statements or statements that are not true, then we have recourse within our courts.
So you're saying that it's fine for this group to organize boycott of his film?
I'm saying it's fine because that's the way the United States is built. Everybody has the right to do this.
Everybody has the right to do this, but I think we can all make a decision about whether or not it is the right thing to do and whether or not somebody's attacking him and trying to shut him up for his speech when he's not hurting anybody. He's not a hate monger targeting some individuals, say like an anti-gay hate monger or somebody attacking Jews or something like that. He is simply giving his political opinions, and they are saying he's anti-American. That's McCarthyistic.
Well, I don't agree with the anti-American. He's exercising his American right.
I know, but the name of the group is Patriotic Americans Boycotting Anti-America Hollywood. Now, they're just saying Hollywood. They're boycotting. Anti-America is Hollywood to them.
Well, that ain't downtown America where I'm from.
And what about Pamela Anderson? Them going after her when she hasn't even come out against the war.
We're our air marshals.
Right. We need our air marshals there. Richard, thanks for giving us a call today.
You're welcome.
Take care now. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli at Sirius OutQ 149. It's a Friday on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show, and our number, toll-free, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUTQ, Sirius OutQ 149. We are getting closer and closer to Pride, and here in New York City, at least, and I know some of you across the country, Pride has been happening across the country every weekend, already had Washington, D.C. Pride and other Pride. Some of you have been calling up with your Pride plans, telling us what's going on. I want to tell you where we're going to be. We are going to be at the Pride Fest, the festival, here in New York City, down on Christopher Street, on Sunday, June 29th. I will be there, as well as Anthony Veneziano, producer here on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show, and Jason Page, our associate producer and technical director, and we will be joined, too, by Cheryl Barcinas from the Wayne Besson Show. So please come and see us. If you're coming into New York City, traveling here, live outside, coming in for Pride, come and see us. Look for the Sirius booth. You'll see a booth at the Pride Fest Festival down on Christopher Street. If you're at the parade leads into it, comes down there, and we're going to be there. And we're going to chat with you, and you can actually talk to us and throw out some ideas about the stuff we've been talking about now. Maybe you want to finally disagree with us or agree with us in person. Anthony will be there. He's the one you have to talk to. And yeah, it's going to be a great day. I love Pride in New York. It's a great day. And I think it's also time to tell you that another thing you could do for Pride is to make sure that you go and get your Sirius radio. The Kenwood Here to Anywhere radios are now available at retailers from coast to coast, including Best Buy, Circuit City, and Crutchfield Online. And it really helps us here at Sirius OutQ. It helps us to enhance and grow our channel, because when you go and buy one of these radios, let's say you're an internet listener now, when you go now and buy one of these radios, it gives us credit. You use the activation code SiriusVIP, gives us credit, helps us to keep expanding. And then also $5, this is the part that's about Pride, gay pride, $5 of your contribution goes to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, a group that helps us battle people like Michael Savage and all the other hate mongers on hate radio. And up to $25,000 this summer will go to Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation from Sirius. And if you're an internet user and you don't have a car, I know some people have said to me, oh, well, then how do I get it? How do I listen to it? The Kenwood Here to Anywhere radios, it's a plug-and-play. And it's a plug-and-play. You buy docking stations for your home stereo and then one for your car stereo. Now, if you don't have a car, then you just buy one docking station for your home. It's $69. And then the plug-and-play is $99. And then if you get another docking station, maybe at your office at some time or whatever, you can always take the plug-and-play with you. But you can then hear us on your stereo instead of the internet, and you get all of these music channels that I just find fabulous. Five incredible dance channels, fantasy ballroom, Broadway show tune channel, every other kind, rock channels, Latina, I mean, everything, salsa, you name it. So it's a great thing, and it's great for you, and it's great for us. And of course, if you already subscribe to Sirius, the portable receivers are now in stores. So you can go from your car to your home. If, let's say, you already have one in your car, you can now get the plug and play and go from your car into your house. And again, $5 goes to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. So I hope you'll get it, because I'm excited about it. I love the plug and play, and I know that Anthony is as well, and I know Jason Page is as well here too. And you can talk to us about it if you come to Pride on June 29th. We'll tell you even more about it, and we'll have a lot of information there. So look for the Sirius booth at Pride Fest in New York City if you come into town. Our number toll-free, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUTQ on Sirius OutQ 149. We're coming up to our open phones hour, the end of our first hour here on a Friday. It's such a Such a nice Friday in New York. Well, getting nicer, I think. I hope. No, maybe not. I'm wishing. Anyway, I hope it's better where you are. We're coming into our second hour, our open phones hour. We're going to talk about things breaking down in Iraq, everything falling apart, Al Gore and his new television station, and the fittest cities in America. Is your city on the list? Maybe you'll have an idea. I'm going to throw the question out there. Open phones hour means you can talk about anything you want, too. So please bring your thoughts and ideas to the table as well. The number to take down, again, 866-305-6887, 866-305-OUT-Q. And this is Sirius OUT-Q 149. At the top of the hour, of course, is Tim Curran with all the news of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered world on Sirius OUT-Q. And then open phones hour on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show, 866-305-6887. I'm Michelangelo Signorelli, Sirius OUT-Q.
OUT-Q is on Sirius, stream 149. OUT-Q. 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 O